Find, if you would, in your Bibles, the book of 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapter number 4. 2 Kings is located in the Old Testament. May not visit this book frequently. It's a wonderful historical book filled with tremendous truth and power and help for our lives. You come to the 2 Kings chapter 4, and I want to challenge you tonight, trying to take Sunday nights now and be inspirational and challenging. Wednesday nights we do study our book series throughout and go through them. We're going through Thessalonians right now, and man, what a study that is. We'll finish in a few weeks and go right on into 2 Thessalonians. What I will try to take Sunday night, and when you leave here, let you leave here encouraged. I have this thought process. You may not appreciate it. I want you to leave here knowing what you should do, whether you do it or not, it's up to you. Sometimes you come to church and you hear what you should be and what you should be doing, and at least where you want to be, and you sit there and you have the desire, and when you hear the preacher preach from God's word about the position of right according to God's word, it rings in your heart. You want it. You desire it. You see our inability in ourselves. It makes us fall upon the enablement of the Spirit of God. And such is the case tonight in 2 Kings chapter 4. I want you to pick up, if you would, in verse number 8. The Bible says, "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. She constrained him to eat bread. So it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, table, stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in hither." I want to speak to you tonight on this little room that the Shunammite woman put together for the great prophet Elisha. You might remember who Elisha was. Elisha was the prophet of God that followed Elijah. Elisha was the prophet of God that was promised by Elijah, "If you see me go up into heaven, you would have a double portion of the blessing." You remember, as Elijah was caught up to heaven in the whirlwind, that his mantle fell to the ground. Elisha walked over there, grabbed his mantle, and smote the water and said, "Where's the God of Elijah?" And God had invested upon him a double portion of the power of God that Elijah had. And Elisha saw God do marvelous and wonderful things in his life. One of the relations that Elisha made was this couple in Shunem. We don't know a whole lot about them, although we do find that because of their relationship with Elisha, marvelous things happened in their life. They must be godly people, for they recognized a godly man. They were gracious people before they opened up their home. They were giving people because they made some provision for him. And what they're so burdened, Elisha kept going by there, and as they saw him continually going by, they began to know him and began to have some fellowship with him, and they wanted to be invested with him and to partner with him. And so in the lady's heart, in the wife's heart, there's a moving to do more than what they were doing. And so she, being under the authority of her husband and wanting to have union there and wanting to have agreement there, she goes to her husband and she says, "Now this is a holy man of God, and he keeps coming by our house continually. I want to build him a little space." So back then, when they built little chambers up on the wall. And I'm not sure if they were rich people, poor people. I'm not sure of all their possessions. But I understand this, that they made for him this little room in verse number 10. And they set some things in the room for him. Some furniture. Kind of simple furniture. Four items are mentioned: the bed, the table, a stool, and a candlestick. And these were four things that they provided for the man of God or for the servant of God. And I want to look at these four things tonight that are needed for God's servant. Simple little room, simple little things. It amazes me how complex our lives have become. Most of you, if you were driving on a trip, would never stop and stay at a hotel that only had a bed, a candlestick, a stool, and a table. If we're going to stop at a hotel now, it better have a king-size bed. It better have, I almost said a mini bar, but you don't want it to have a mini bar, do you? It better have a refrigerator and a stove. It better have Wi-Fi. If it don't have Wi-Fi, we ain't staying there. It better have a workout room. It better have room service. It better have a business center. I better be able to get my facts. And I want it to be a comfortable bed. It better have a big shower. And I got to have the certain kind. And we're driving down the road now, and we see hotels, and we're like, no, I'm not staying there. That's not worthy of my presence. Pastor, are you picking on us? No, I do the same thing. So I'm not picking on you. Amazing how complex we have become. There is a powerful symbolism in this little room of what is needed for the servant of God. I believe it was Socrates that said, all the things that I possess that I do not need. You ever look at your junk? We have more junk. I'll never forget Pastor Lehman when he was retiring. Somebody must have brought in a bag of something. I don't remember what it was. And they set it in the office. And they left. And Pastor Lehman looked at me and he said, now, Tom, I'll tell you, be honest with you. There's one thing I won't miss. It's people's junk for Jesus. I never have forgot about that. We have junk. Here's my thought process. I keep everything because I think I'm going to need it. And then I get this wild hair somewhere, and I've kept something for years. And I walk in there, and I'm like, I'm throwing it in the garbage. What in the world did I make this decision to throw it in the garbage? I don't know. I've held on to it for years, and all of a sudden I just come to the realization I don't need it. I'm not against having things. I think you ought to have things. I'm not against having nice things. I hope you do have nice things. I think we live in a day where we have more than what we need. We have more than what we need. You know, I grew up in a different time, and many of you grew up in a different time, and I don't remember having all that the kids have today, and whether good or bad, I don't know. I will say this to every parent in the room. You do need to develop your kids' imagination. It's not wrong for them to have to think and be creative to be entertained. Be careful about just throwing them the iPod, iPad, or the games or whatever to entertain them. Now listen, when my kids were small, I did whatever I could do to make them be quiet. And I understand that. But there was a day when we used to be creative to entertain ourselves. And we had to think a little bit. It's important that every parent in here understand that you need to develop and train your kid how to think. Why? Because they need to think, number one, they're a sinner and they need Jesus Christ. Amen. They don't need just to be entertained. Be careful about that. We get in this complex world anymore where there's no creativity. Everybody is creative for us. So now, and I heard my kids doing it the other day. I asked them a question. In their schooling, they didn't know the question. And so you want to know what their answer was for me? Well, just Google it. So wait just a minute. You're not going to Google it. Go get that book, sit down here, and your mom's going to help you figure that out. We've kind of live in a society now where everybody's creative for us. So hence, there's no more individual thinking. Now we just kind of follow. You better teach your kid how to think. And so there's a simplicity in these four items that have powerful symbolism. And the lady saw what was needed for the servant of God. And I think the symbolism of these things is still needed for us. And so I want to walk through these furniture items with you. I need 10 minutes, and I got my clock here. I'll be done at quarter till. Number one, it says that, and on the wall, they made a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed. A bed. A bed is a symbol for rest. When you want to rest, you get in the bed. Do you know you spend one third of your life, 8 hours out of every day almost, in bed? It's our bodies were designed to need rest. And so the servant of God had an understanding by this woman that she put a bed in there because she knew the servant of God needed rest. I want to talk to you a minute about rest. There's physical rest and there's spiritual rest. Every servant of God needs physical rest. You need physical rest. Why don't you study the life of Elijah and see how important rest is to you? Elijah had been on that mountain battling all those false prophets and was exhausted. And the very next day, Jezebel sends him one little note that says, I'm going to kill you, when, from one little woman, and all these people couldn't. And Elijah just goes berserk and runs and hides. And he's underneath this juniper tree and he's pouting. And God enables him to fall asleep. And God allows him to sleep. And the angel comes and wakes him up and feeds him. And then the angel allows him to go back to sleep. Why? Because you and I need rest. You cannot go 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's sometimes people say, well, Pastor, as a badge of honor, I work 7 days a week. Listen, working 7 days a week is not healthy. It's not healthy. Many people make spiritually dangerous decisions when they are exhausted. And by the way, I love serving the Lord. If you love serving the Lord, say amen. All right. So now if you sing in this choir or you watch those babies or you're in that junior church or you're in that Awana or you're in this youth department or somehow you're serving on Sunday, then you need rest on Saturday. Don't eliminate your service for the Lord for rest. Reorganize yourself to get rest so you're fresh coming in serving the Lord. Every servant of God needs physical rest. And organize yourselves that way. You know, I was thinking the other day, church-going people, we don't understand what a real weekend is, do we? Because we get Saturday and Sunday's a work day for us. I thought, if I had two Saturdays back to back, what would I do? You ever think about that? So the average guy gets off at 5 o'clock Friday and doesn't have to go to work till Monday morning. That's an enormous amount of time. I don't have that. You don't have that. We get Saturday and Sunday morning we're here and we're back Sunday night and we're serving the Lord and we love that. We don't quite understand what they have in time. So for us in serving, we need rest. Now, not only does the servant of the Lord need physical rest, but we also need to understand our spiritual rest. Let me ask you this question. Who is our spiritual rest? Jesus is. Matthew chapter 11, Jesus stands there and says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. So the same way the servant of God needs physical rest, we need to learn how to have spiritual rest. And so the man of God had a bed in his room, and it symbolized rest. In this chaos world that we live in, we need to be able, if we're going to be fresh and be able to serve the Lord, we need physical rest and we need to be grounded in our spiritual rest. What does that mean, Pastor? That means that the same way you go into your bed and you go to sleep and you just are resting, it's that same full, complete trust we have in the Lord. The servant of God, the men and women of the church, born again people, believers, as we serve the Lord, we need rest. Do not get so encumbered that you do not have rest. All right. You're so tired, you can't even concentrate. Number two, table. Table carries the idea of fellowship, carries the idea of communion. John chapter 21, Jesus said, come and dine. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Bible talks about the table of communion. The same way that table was set up for food, and it's a symbol of fellowship and a symbol of eating back then, and they would enjoy those kind of things. We need the fellowship and the communion of the Lord. And you ought to go to that table every day. No servant of God is ever going to survive without fellowship and communion with our Savior. You can't. Just think how thirsty you get for just physical fellowship and wanting to go out with another couple or wanting to have somebody over or wanting to do something together. But in that little room for the man of God, there was a bed. It symbolized rest. There was a table. It symbolized fellowship and communion. And we need to visit our table in that fellowship and communion with our Lord on a daily basis. Have you ever been so spiritually dry and thirsty that you just come to the understanding in your spirit, I need to spend time with Jesus? Has anybody ever been there? You get like that. You just all of a sudden you realize, man, I can't even think straight. Everything is going crazy. I'm making a bad decision here. How can I be so stupid to do that? What is going to happen here? And all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute. I haven't been with the Lord. And you just get smitten in your spirit, and then you're able to go and spend time with Him. I promise you, if you will sit at the table of fellowship and communion with your Savior, it will refresh you in a wonderful way. So there's a bed, symbolizes rest. There's a table, symbolizes fellowship and communion. Then there's this stool. What is that stool? I looked it up. It's the only place in the Bible the word stool is used there as far as this particular word. Stool's plural, but stool here. It carries the idea of instruction. If you're sitting on a stool and you're working, you're meditating, you're concentrating. How important is it for us to have some focused, meditating, concentrating time with the Lord? That's why you need a prayer closet. Did you hear your pastor say amen or no? Did you hear me? Prayer closet. You need a place. Pastor, I always heard that word prayer closet, and I don't understand what you're talking about. Can't we just pray anywhere? Can I be driving down the road and pray? Sure. Can I pray just anywhere? Sure. But there's some place in your life that you need to designate as your prayer closet. It needs to be a quiet place. It needs to be an undistracted place. It needs to be some place when you enter into that, it's just an opportunity for you to be completely focused upon the Lord. Maybe it's a room in your house, and you know that I'm going to do my prayer, my Bible study in this room, and begin to go in that room, close the door, and let that room become your prayer closet. Maybe you have a different place somewhere, but you need a specific place. How many do your devotions and your prayer time in a specific place already? Every time. You got to have a prayer closet. If you don't, you're missing out on the meditation. And so Elisha would sit in there, sitting on that stool over that table. I'm sure he was studying God's word or preparing or doing whatever it was. But it was a meditative, concentrated, non-distracting place. Now listen, it can't be a place where you get information. The Bible says a double-minded man is what? Stable. So if you're going to spend time with God, it cannot be in front of the TV, man. Ladies, it cannot be while you're listening to the radio. It cannot be while we're doing this. It has to be undistracted so it can be meditative and consecrative along those lines. So he has that stool there. And then lastly, he has a candlestick. And the candlestick, it represents light. It really represents a testimony. Jesus is the light of the world in John chapter 1. Psalm 119, 105 said that God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And Matthew chapter 5, verse number 14, talks about that the church is a city which is on a hill that cannot be hidden. Don't put your light, let your light be put under a bushel. And so as that candlestick was there, it was giving light. And we need that as far as the symbolism in our lives. Jesus is our light. We are to be the light of the reflection of His light for the world. And God's word is a light and lamp unto our feet. The servant of God must have the word of God. Amen. Can't do without it. You need to see this as indispensable. You got to have it. And I know it's on your phone. I know it's on your iPod. I know it's on your iPad. No problem. I don't care how you get it, but get it. Four simple things. A bed for rest, a table for fellowship, a stool for instruction, a candlestick as the light, as Jesus is the light, and God's word is a lamp unto our feet, and we are to have a testimony for Christ. Don't get so busy that we're not what God, that we lose the simplicity of what it is. That little simple room with such wonderful furniture for our lives. And I pray that you'll use this. Pastor, I've had a hard week. Pastor, I'm facing a hard week. Pastor, I need some wisdom. I need those things. Well, this is how you get it, spending time with Him, understanding these symbols. All right, let's have our prayer.